More eye-opening investigations on expose. The truth is just a revelation away. Thank you.
Tributes to the Prophet's seventh infallible successor. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam and heartfelt condolences to all our listeners on a very tragic occasion. Today, the 25th of the sacred month of Rajab, happens to be the anniversary of the martyrdom of the seventh infallible Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, or Immaculate Household of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Before we present you an exclusive feature on Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, who reposes in eternal peace in the famous golden-plated twin-domed shrine of Kazemain in the Iraqi capital Baghdad, here is a passage from a supplication taught by the Imam to the faithful on how to beseech God Almighty in the month of Rajab. O Allah, I find the path of request leading up to you to be clear, the springs of hope in you to be perennial, and the doors of supplication to be open for those who supplicate you. And your help is ever available for those who seek it. This is the revered and august month of Rajab, where, by you, have honored us. The first of the sacred months, you have favored us with from among all the nations, O Lord of generosity and munificence. We beseech you by it, and by the greatest of the greatest of the greatest of your names, the most glorious and the noblest, which you have created, whereat it abided in your shadow, without being revealed for anyone except you, to bless Muhammad and the pure ones of his progeny. And appoint us in this month to be among those who strive therein in obedience to you, and hope therein to win intercession with you. The mentioned passages are part of the special supplication that the faithful recite every year on the 27th of Rajab, the day Almighty Allah formally entrusted the universal message of Islam to his last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The person who taught us this application attained martyrdom this day at the age of 55 years on the 25th of Rajab, in 183 AH, corresponding to 799 AD, having dutifully carried out his mission as the seventh infallible heir of the Seal of Messengers for 35 long years, during which he faced intermittent bouts of imprisonment at the hands of the self-styled caliphs of the usurper Abbasid regime. Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, needs no introduction. He was the son of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, the reviver of the Prophet's pristine practice and behavior. He was the father of Imam Reza, peace upon him, who reposes in eternal peace in the northeastern Iranian city of Mashhad in Khorasan. His own holy shrine is in the suburb of Kazemain, north of Baghdad, where today millions of pilgrims have gathered from all over Iraq and other parts of the world to pay homage to him. Undaunted by the terrorism of the U.S., which over the past 2 months has launched several unprovoked attacks to violate Iraq's sovereignty in support of the crimes against humanity of the illegal Zionist entity. The U.S. regime shall soon know that it will vanish from the world map, along with usurper Israel, in the same way the apostates evaporated from history with no trace remaining of their graves, let alone their palaces of pleasure from which Harun al-Rashid and other tyrants used to tyrannize the Muslim masses. Imam Kazem, peace upon him, was born in a town called Abwa between the cities of Mecca and Medina in the year 128 AH, corresponding to 745 AD. His mother was the virtuous lady Hamide al-Barbariya from North Africa. He was in his 20th year when the divine mantle of Imamat came to rest on his shoulders. His father's assassin, Mansur Davaniqi, had hatched a plot to assassinate him as well if he could be determined to be the next imam of the Ahlul Bayt, but so secretly guarded was this godly designation, the tyrant could not succeed. Next was the rule of the perfidious Mahdi al-Abbasi, who imprisoned the seventh imam but had to release him and sent him back to Medina, following a horrifying nightmare. The next usurper caliph, Hadi al-Abbasi, during his brief rule of 2 years, plotted to take the life of Imam Kazem, peace upon him. But he also fell into the bowels of hell before he could do so. The debauched tyrant Harun now took over the caliphate and during his rule detained the Prophet's righteous heir several times after being speechless in debates with him regarding the legitimacy of the rights of the Ahlul Bayt. The seventh imam ably piloted the ship of Islam through the stormy waters of Abbasid misrule, enlightening all those who came in contact with him with the genuine teachings of Islam. He held debates with the scholars of other religions, like the Christians and the Jews, convincing many of them of the truthfulness of Islam. At the same time, his political acumen prevented many a catastrophe in those crucial days when frequent uprisings were staged against the Abbasid by several descendants of the Prophet, such as establishment of the Idrisid state in what is now Morocco by his distant cousin Idris, the survivor of the bloodbath of Fakh near Mecca, where the Abbasids massacred many of the offspring of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him. The imam also remained silent about the uprising of another distant cousin, Yahya ibn Abdullah in Tabaristan on the Caspian Sea coast of Iran. The seventh imam's prudence prevailed and was instrumental in preserving the life and dignity of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. He trained at least 300 erudite scholars, bequeathing to them vessels of knowledge that have since continued to serve the cause of Islam till this day. These efforts to preserve the genuine teachings of Islam horrified the Abbasid regime. The malicious Harun never spared an opportunity to try to imprison Imam Kazem, peace upon him, under various pretexts, especially after the incident at the shrine of the Prophet in Medina, where following the Abbasid caliph addressing the Prophet as cousin in order to hoodwink onlookers, the seventh imam entered and saluted the shrine with the words, "Greetings to you, O illustrious ancestor." Thus, On the 27th of Rajab, Imam Kazim, peace upon him, was again detained by Harun, who, afraid of the sentiments of the public for the Prophet's heir, set off two caravans of canopied camels in different directions. The first was an empty one traveling towards Baghdad, and the second in which the seventh Imam was placed towards Basra. After a long imprisonment in Basra, where the jailer refused to do bodily harm to his dignified prisoner, the Imam was transferred to Baghdad, where Harun gave final orders to the despicable Sandy bin Shahak to poison him to death. 3 days later, after intense pain as a result of food poisoning, Imam Kazim, peace upon him, attained martyrdom, and his body was exposed to the public by the prison wardens and the court coroners, who, in order to absolve Harun of any foul play, displayed a long scroll signature saying no physical harm was done. The seventh Imam was laid to rest in the cemetery of the Quraysh in Baghdad, which is now the sprawling twin dome, gold-plated mausoleum, at the site of which the residents of Baghdad, whether Shia or Sunni, bow in reverence with the words, "O Bab al-Hawaj, granter of wounds," on their lips. Here is another passage to ponder upon from the special supplication for the day of Mab'ath. O you who have enjoined us to pardon and overlook others' faults, having assured us to pardon and overlook our faults, O you who pardon and overlook, pardon me and overlook my faults, O generous one.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the speeches and thoughts of the leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two Islamic experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Qasem Muhammadi and Brother Ali Alavian. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
So in a series of the program Viewpoints regarding the speeches of the leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, we are mainly concerned with the role that the human beings might have in this life and how Islam and a religious leader like Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei look at human being in different aspects and dimensions. We got into the topic of the comparison that he has made regarding human beings in the Islamic school of thought, or better to say Shia school of thought, and the other non-religious one, especially the opposite pole, that is the liberal capital one or the Western one. which very much is referred as the Western humanism. Okay, Brother Ali Alavian, do you believe that this human centrism in the world has got into atheism? I mean, not believing in a power like supernatural, like God or something like that?
Definitely, this is the result that we see at the fruit of this actually worldview is showing itself in our today's life. When you see the man or the human as the center of the universe and you actually neglect the role of God and whatever pleasure is going to be obtained for the sake of the human being, then you do not look at the other side, okay. That is the role of the creator.
Okay.
Look, the kind of development that we have in mind actually refers to the epistemological look and epistemological foundation that we have defined for ourselves.
Okay.
This kind of look tells us what kind of progress and development is good and what kind of progress and development is bad.
That's right.
When you look at the type of the human beings in general,
yes,
this is what the Islamic look actually tells us. When you have the benefits and the profits of a certain group of people and they are the ones who decide for the others, okay, actually it is something totally different with the worldview that we have defined in an Islamic one.
The humans are the same from the same, although different
see, in,
races,
in
languages,
Quran, Allah,
you know,
says
colors.
That okay. If you save a life, it is yes. As if you have saved the whole world's
okay.
life. And if you kill a person, it's as if you have killed the whole people of the inhabitant of the whole earth. So it means that every single person's right is observed here.
Okay.
So you cannot say that since I am the center of the world and all the actually inclinations of mine are going to be respected and valued,
right.
Then others are not that much important. And everyone and every person says the same thing. So definitely the rule of jungle will be actually ruling there. And then definitely and the natural consequence of that would be that some of the people will miss their rights and some
isn't
will.
Isn't it so? We are living in a jungle, man. How human beings with all this technological...
We are here to criticize this wrong system, bro.
Yes, I do want to say what happened to the human being that left aside all the spiritual developments and got to this level that by his own hands
mm-hmm.
he can destroy himself. And look at what we are doing to the natural resources around
mm-hmm.
by all these technologies and human centrism.
And the
I
result
know,
of... The result of which is that a certain group, a limited group of people are benefiting
okay.
from whatever...
Who has more power and money and
more
weapon.
More power and money and wealth, yeah.
And weapon,
so this
okay.
is the result. And we are actually criticizing and actually comparing it with an Islamic worldview, which
okay.
is totally for the sake of humanity. And then at the same time, the role of the creator has been actually looked at earlier.
And the problems are getting more and more and the people all around the world... are looking for calmness and tranquility inside the minds. So through psychology or doing yoga or something like that, they cannot find calmness. But I think that Islam and peaceful religions like Islam, Abrahamic religions, has specific prescriptions for them in order to solve the human beings and get them back into the right back. And I think this is very much, Sheikh Qasim, very much related to the very innate nature of the fitrah of the human being. To act godly in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. So this is exactly how you described it. You know, when these human beings, you know, they are seeking a spirituality where it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So the main problem with those sorts of spiritualities is that, you know, they don't give you the goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to sort of, you know, manipulate you and sort of busy you with whatever you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have a sort of, you know, a calm mind, something like that. So, but at the other end of the day, when you ask that person, actually I have
yes.
met these, you know, such people who try their best to be a spiritual, but since there's something very, very special and crucial missing in their lives, which is the goal, so they don't get anywhere, you know, so there's...
Okay.
So they, you know, every day they get up, you know, do yoga or, you know, other ways of, you know, getting these sorts of, you know, spiritualities. But at the end of the day, when you ask them, all right, okay, what are you going to do, you know, the day tomorrow? And if what if you die tonight or today? What would you do and what would happen? Because they don't believe in a final goal.
That's right.
So that's everything is just, you know,
transient in this world. Yes. And, you know, the type of the pleasures that they're looking after in today's world are various. You know, day by day, the human beings are getting developed by this technology and all these developments. And the type of the pleasures that they're after is becoming limited and limited. Mm. So they're looking for new types of pleasures, sometimes getting to extremes, you know, and doing harsh things around to the human beings, to the animals. And, you know, just look at how in today's world, the mind and the complete rationale of the people who are ready in order to kill the other people. From the other side, Brother Ali Alavian, I think the true understanding of gods and terrorism is also important. Mm. Because in the faithful system or the believing system, we can find also see extremism too. The people who has got extreme and through their God-centrism at the look, they are ready to kill people for the sake of God.
Mm.
What's your critique on that, brother?
When the concept of pleasure actually loses its meaning only to a materialistic one,
mm-hmm.
then you are ready to sacrifice even the other aspects or, let's say, factors in your life for that sake. And even spirituality can be sacrificed. When there is no spirituality, when there is no one that you account for, when there is no God that you actually need to be obedient for, then you find this right for yourself to do whatever you like and whatever you wish. So this is the difference. When you just limit the concept of pleasure to the worldly and material pleasures,
okay.
and they are actually day by day, they are changing to new and newer, let's say,
formats,
kinds of pleasures right. and formats, then the spiritual pleasure, which is by far very stronger and, let's say, heavier than that, and they have never yet actually practiced it, will lose its meaning and cannot be found in their lives. Then they find a sort of complete and absolute freedom for themselves.
So you mean
then there is no border or okay. boundaries for themselves to find themselves in this, let's say, circle of, let's say, set of beliefs.
So regarding this extremism inside the religions, do you believe that they are after satisfying their own physical pleasures in the name of Allah, in the name of God, in the name of religion?
Look, brother, we are not talking now about all the religions. We are going to talk about the viewpoint of Islam and the moderate Muhammadan Islam that we are introducing, which is the core of our, okay. let's say, discussion here and debate, if I can call it a debate.
Yes.
Is that pure Muhammadan Islam that we have understood from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and his household and progeny? So in this kind of, in this, let's say, version and in this format of Islam, there is no extremism. Whatever you say is exactly based on logic, based on, a very beautiful reasoning that no one can actually deny and, let's say, criticize any part of it. In case we are, even in that case, it is ready to be criticized. We are the men of learning more to see what the problem is there. So when we are saying that we are defending this version of Islam,
that's
it
right.
means that there is no extremism, like, for example, what we have seen and we have witnessed from ISIS or other
yes.
extremist groups in the world.
Yes.
So these sort of version, these sort of activities cannot be found in this version that we are talking about.
That's right. I think even this religious look at the world in case of extremism might get into absolute self-centerism and human-centerism in the world, because this God that they are making in this in their mind is a kind of hallucination, is a kind of illusion. So through the artificial God that they have made through their minds, they're going to kill other people, kill themselves, you know, suicide bombing and something like that. And this is what Western humanism might criticize some of the religious lands or countries,
yeah.
that your God-centrism might get into this way. But their definition of Islam is
exactly. Good. This God-centrism will never ever lead to that mm-hmm. format of, let's say, Islam. And
yes.
look, at the very beginning of this discussion, I mentioned two verses of the Holy Quran. One was من قتل نفسا فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. If a person kills another person, it's as if he has killed the whole world. So let's just find this simple concept in active in extremist groups. We have seen that they have killed lots of not even non-Muslim and Muslims.
Yes.
So they cannot be actually looked at, for example, the followers of this school that we are talking about.
That's right.
In case you want to kill a person, you are not allowed, firstly, you are not allowed to kill any person in the world.
That's all right.
And without any reason. And with a reason, there is a permission needed. There is a permission needed by issued by the ruler of Islamic Ummah. And then there are lots of actually legitimate, let's say, stages that it's out of our discussion.
That's right.
But I want to say, even for this simple point, they cannot be looked at follower of this concept that we are defending and talking about.
Okay. And so God's centrism has to be defined in the true sense of the word. And I think through true definition of God's centrism in today's world, we can criticize Western humanism.
Mm-hmm.
If the look at Islam, this is what Professor Edward Said in his book Orientalism has mentioned. You know, if the picture that is gonna made, you know, out of the Western world is as if they have made out of the Arab world or the Muslims in their own lands, then we are getting the wrong way. So the definitions has to be redefined. I mean, the true definitions has to be given. Sheikh Hassan Mohammadi, any final comments on this?
I just want to add some one more comment on what my brother said earlier.
Very good.
That is, the thing that we're talking about here is the prescription that is given by the pure Islam, and the sources, actually the authentic sources of Islam, and for sure, those actually prescriptions could be misunderstood or misread or misused, and this is what we actually see happening in those extremists and extremism that we can actually witness in Daesh or other extremist groups. So misunderstanding at times and misuse of that prescription that is given by a pure Islamic understanding of the world, that is actually causing these problems that we are actually now are witnessing in in the name of Islamic extremism, or sometimes Daesh or Al-Qaeda or other extremist groups.
Okay. And theocracy in the true sense of the word, if one rules over the world, the people has to get back into their fitrah, but we are busy so much with our surroundings in today's world, especially in the 21st century. You see how the media is working on the minds of the people. The people sometimes are forgetting themselves, let alone to think about the God inside themselves. So this is what the human beings are busy with in today's world. Sheikh Qasim Mohammadi and Ali Alavian, thank you much for your presence in the program Viewpoints.
Thanks to you, bro.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us on IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en. Also visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanullah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, the world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
food for thought.
Salam, friends, and condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, the seventh infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here we present you a short but sweet statement from him. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
If you take Israel for what it is, an outgrowth of the United States in West Asia, then the wars that the Israeli military is fighting are America's by extension. And it is not just a figurative thing to say. Israel would not have survived in the past seven decades without American support. The United States has showered Israel with billions in financial aid, military aid, and other forms of support throughout its years of existence. Israel would have been unable to survive without the U.S. support throughout its short existence. In order to build the so-called Iron Dome weapon system alone, America offered a whopping $1.6 billion from 2011 to 2021. Last year, the United States Congress passed another $1 billion in funding for the apparently Israeli system. In the ongoing war on Gaza, the Israeli regime has been gobbling up American money and weapons. Since the start of the war, the Pentagon has quietly ramped up military aid to Israel. from more missiles for Iron Dome to laser-guided missiles for Apache helicopters, also U.S.-made, to bunker buster munitions to military vehicles, according to an internal Defense Department list. Let's take a look at how America has been fueling the war on Gaza in a nutshell.
The latest war on Gaza started on October the 7th after a multi-pronged attack by Hamas, the Gaza-based Palestinian group, the scope of which caught the Israeli regime by surprise. The Israeli military then started the current bloody war, primarily with aerial attacks on the besieged Gaza, and then sent soldiers into the enclave.
Hours after the Hamas raid on October the 7th, Washington started sending warships and warplanes into the region and prepared to give Israel whatever it needed. Israel also asked the U.S. for Iron Dome interceptors, while President Joe Biden said Washington would quickly provide additional equipment and resources, including ammunition, which would reach Israel within days.
A Wall Street Journal report says that the United States has given Israel a range of munitions, including so-called bunker buster bombs, for its war in Gaza. It said U.S. arms shipments to Israel since the start of the war included 15,000 bombs and 57,155mm artillery shells, mostly carried on C-17 military cargo planes. The Wall Street Journal says that some of the bloodiest Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip have involved the use of big US-made bombs.
Another form of US assistance for Israel, of course, comes in the form of diplomatic cover. The US has blocked several resolutions at the UN Security Council that would have necessitated a ceasefire to have urgent humanitarian aid reach the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who have been displaced by the Israeli war. When a severely weakened version of that resolution passed recently, it passed with a U.S. abstention.
It is easy to imagine the Israeli arsenal drying up in the ongoing all-out war on Gaza. Previous wars have lasted for several days or weeks only. And America isn't hiding its near-constant, near-total replenishing of the Israeli regime either. But if it is true that Israel is fighting what is practically an American war, with the American missiles and vehicles, guns and munitions, and diplomatic cover and stonewalling, what are the actual implications of the war for the United States?
As the suffering in Palestine continues to grow, America as well as Israel must be held accountable. Every Palestinian death caused by the Israeli war on Gaza is a casualty of the United States war on the Palestinian enclave too. And any tragedy yet to come is one of America's making as well. The United States lubricates the war machine. The Israeli military fights, Palestinians are killed, and America accumulates shame.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity,
Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran in another occasion. Today is a sad occasion for Shia Muslim. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Kazim, peace be upon him. So accept our condolences on this sad occasion.
موسف نجفر يا موسف نجفر يا موسف نجفر يا باب الهوائج يا موسف نجفر يا باب الهوائج.
Today Tuesday is the 25th of Rajab, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of the month of Bahman, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of February, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Kazim, peace be upon him. This is a short part about Harun's request from the Imam. Harun was the caliphate during Imam Kazim's life. During the last few days of the Imam's imprisonment, which was not more than 1 week before his martyrdom, Harun al-Rashid sent Yahya Barmaki to the Imam, and through him, in nice and soft tone, he told the Imam, "Send my regards to my cousin and tell him it has been proven to us you have committed no sin and are blameless. However, I have unfortunately made an oath and cannot break my word. I have made an oath not to free you before you have confessed to sinning and ask me for forgiveness. No one needs to know. It is enough if you confess in the presence of Yahya. I do not need to be there either. The presence of others is not also needed. I do not want to break my oath. You only need to confess in Yahya's presence and say, 'I'm sorry that I have preached and I want the caliph to forgive me. I will then set you free.'" Look at his resistive spirit. Why are they referred to as intercessor of the transient realm or barzakh? Why did they become martyrs? They become martyrs in the way of their true faith and belief. They want to show that the true faith does not allow taking steps with the oppressor. The Imam's response to Yahya was, "Tell Harun that there is no much left of my life, and that is it." And after a week, the Imam was poisoned. Dear brothers and sisters, accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of our great Imam, our seventh Imam, Shia seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him.
Imam al-Kazim was imprisoned and he died in prison. And several times he was taken to prison. Several times he was imprisoned by the caliphs. There were several caliphs that he encountered. Al-Hadi, Al-Mahdi, and Harun. And of course Mansur, after the death of the martyrdom of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, he was one of the things that he insisted to his followers was to practice taqiyya. And that was for the sake of preserving tashayyu. Of course, Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, he had individuals who were in positions of power. There was, for example, Ali ibn Yaqtin. Ali ibn Yaqtin was one of the ministers in the government at that time. One of the ministers of Harun. He was a person who was in high position But Ali ibn Yaqtin had to practice taqiyya. But Ali ibn Yaqtin, his imam was Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, who was imprisoned. And there are several stories with the imam and Ali ibn Yaqtin. One day, Ali ibn Yaqtin, he comes to visit. He receives a letter from the imam. He tells him, from now on, once you see this letter, start praying in such and such way. Fold your hands. Or excuse me, not the prayer, regarding the wudu. He tells him, from now on, when you do wudu, wash 3 times, gargle, wash your head, wash your ears, describing to him the wudu, and wash your hands this way, from this side, from the end of the fingers, all the way to the bottom, as opposed to the Shia way, as washing this way. So he tells him, from now on, once you get this letter, do wudu in this particular way. Then, a while later, the imam sends him another letter. He tells him, now go back to doing wudu the way we have ordered you to do it. So Ali ibn Yaqtin, he saw the order from the imam, a letter, and he started practicing it. Later on, it was revealed that there were some individuals in the government who were doubting in Ali ibn Yaqtin. They were trying to tell the Khalifa, see, he's Shia. He's Shia, and kill him and don't give him position of power. So the Imam alayhi salam, who doesn't know, who's not there at that time, he tells him, practice wudu in this particular way to preserve the life of Ali ibn Yaqtin.
The manner of the Imam's martyrdom, the last prison the Imam was kept in, was the prison of Sindhi, who was basically a non-Muslim man. He was one of those people who would vehemently put into action whatever was commanded to him. Yahya Barmaki promised Harun to carry out duties others did not carry out. He saw Sindhi and said, "You do this martyring the Imam." When he accepted, Yahya prepared a very dangerous poison and handed it over to Sindhi. In there, they have prepared poisonous dates, which were fed to the Imam, and then they immediately summoned witnesses. They invited the city scholars and judges. In that meeting, they called the Imam as well as Harun and said, "O people, have you heard what rumors these Shia are spreading about Musa ibn Ja'far? They say he's not comfortable in prison and that. See for yourself that he's completely healthy." As soon as he finished, the Imam said, "He's lying. Right now I have been poisoned and not more than 2 or 3 days is left of my life." And after the Imam's martyrdom, they took his body next to Baghdad's bridge and kept taking people there and saying, "See, the master is unharmed. He died a national death." They kept the Imam's body next to Baghdad's bridge for 3 days to make people believe that the Imam died of natural causes. On the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him, it's nice to look at his sayings. The Imam said, "He's not from us one who gives up his material world for his religion or his religion for the life of this world. Always say the right thing, although it may lead to your loss. Whenever you get a pious leader and ruler, then thank Allah for this boon. The best of generosity is the help to the oppressed. The world is soft and beautiful like a snake, but there is a disastrous killer poison hidden inside it. There is nothing seen by your eye, but it has a lesson in it.
Khalifa Harun, he saw that the Imam in some prisons, he was respected. He was given some relative freedom here and there. So he sends him to the prisoner of As-Sindi ibn Shahik, who was an evil, wicked man. His prison was a hole in the ground, a dungeon in the ground. The Imam alayhi salam was placed in that dungeon, in that hole in the ground, where he does not determine between day and night. Day and night he is in that. He's in that and he's praying, and he has these heavy metals. They are tied to his hands and his feet, that they broke his hands and his feet, or they turned they hurt his hands and his feet. The metals, the shackles that are tied to him. The Imam alayhi salam, there, the Imam, they tried to take away the opportunity to worship. What did they start doing? They started to harass and abuse the Imam. They started turning on music and sounds of music coming inside the prison to distract the Imam from his ibadah. They say that after they did that, the Imam alayhi salam, he started asking Allah to take his life. Because now they're stripping him from the only thing that he has, and that is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're trying to distract him. And the condition that the Imam was in was a very miserable and very difficult condition. So the Imam alayhi salam, he writes a letter to Harun. He tells him, إِنَّهُ لَيَّنْ قَضِي عَنِّي يَوْمٌ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ إِلَّا وَانْقَضَى عَنْكَ يَوْمٌ مِنَ الرَّخَاءِ. He says, every day of difficulty that passes for me, a day of comfort will end for you, until we both go and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That day, we will stand and true justice will be revealed. Harun, he orders As-Sindi ibn Shahik to poison the Imam. As-Sindi ibn Shahik was a wicked man. They say that one day, Imam, the door of the dungeon, or there was a boulder, a rock covering it, it was removed. The Imam alayhi salam, he came up dragging these metals and heavy shackles attached to him. He goes up and to take some fresh air, to breathe some fresh air. As-Sindi ibn Shahik, he comes and he slaps the Imam on his face and he tells him, "Oh Musa, who told you to come out? Who gave you permission to come out?" And then the Imam alayhi salam was fasting. They gave him food that poisoned him.
Dear brothers, dear sisters, thank you for listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. As I told you at the beginning of this episode, today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Al-Kazim, peace be upon him. We ask Allah to put us in the role of his true followers. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah. رب الحسن رمت ابن جعفر أيها الكاظم يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله
وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وديها عند الله اشفع لنا عند
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.